epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
What's up, Clint? How y'all doing, man?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Four-man front for Houston. Murray fakes the give. Steps back, steps up. Now guns it long downfield. Wants Brown and intercepted. Derek Stingley Jr. with the pick. The takeaway by the Texans. Stingley's second career INT.
There's Mark Vandermeer. Derek Stingley this year was an All-Pro.
Yes!
First-team All-Pro in the National Football League. And Clint, they did the top 10 cornerbacks as voted upon or compiled by the comments from 70 coaches, scouts, and executives. And Clint, he slides in the two spot. Patrick Surtain, then him. Derek Stingley Jr., he's the only one ahead of him. Denzel Ward, Trent McDuffie, Sauce Gardner, who somebody is connected with him, taken in the draft right after him. Christian Gonzalez, J.C. Horn, I see you, J.C. Jalen Johnson, Quinyon Mitchell of the Eagles, and then Devin Witherspoon of the Seahawks. But he's in the two spot. Your reaction to him at that spot and the cornerback rankings?
Look, I think it's big time respect that's earned and well deserved. I knew he would be top four, but I didn't know exactly where he would land. I mean, I don't think he's had the year where it's just like the arrival year of statistically just you know, kind of jumped on the scene. It's been more of a slow climb for him, and he fought the injuries early. But it's good to see that he's getting the respect that he deserves. And I think what has set him apart, Ron, is again, it's not been the stats, so to speak, the leading the league in interceptions or anything like that. But it's been consistent. Not good, but consistent, great play. And the other part of it is the interception against Tyreek Hill. And there's been pass breakups that we see that the rest of the world doesn't see because we watch every damn snap. But the pick against Tyreek Hill, one, you're guarding Tyreek Hill at a critical moment of the game. He usually wins those, not the corner, right? But not only do you win, you go up and make an interception that, again, not my words, by one of the executives that that helped with these rankings. Their words were 99% of corners in the NFL don't even touch that ball, much less catch it kind of deal. That is that's how he's made this list. That's how he's made top five. That's why he's ranked ahead of a couple of the other top tier corners in this league. And I think it's much respect and well deserved.
Yep, those are your first team All Pros, him and Patrick Surtain. And I'm telling you, that draft class of his, that three of them are in the top five.
Wow, Sauce and who's
Sauce? The Trent McDuffie was Trent. In the 20s, and then obviously Derek Stingley Jr.
Hell of a year, of a year. You know, you talk about again the interception against Tyreek Hill sticks out, and then you
I think it's just his ball skills in general. Like I mean, he has receiver ball skills. No question.
I don't believe he should be catching balls on the offense. And a lot of folks think so highly of it. They should put him on offense. And I mean, unless they get into a really bad spot this year, I don't think he's that guy. But his ball skills are absolutely elite for cornerbacks. There's no doubt about it. And the play against Tyreek Hill is one that just I think showcased that ridiculous ability to play the ball. And then, you know, statistically, there is one that sticks out. He allowed 56.9% passer rating to opposing quarterbacks, which is the best among corners league-wide, that was targeted more than 50 times. And so, or 30 times maybe. I can't remember what that target limit was. But nonetheless, consistently great football with a handful of plays that showcase elite ability and elite, you know, playmaking ability, ball skills. It's, again, he's right where he deserves to be.
Yeah, he is in that two spot. The other part that was kind of interesting about this is they do the top 10, and then they also do the honorable mentions and players that are receiving votes, right, at each position. As we know, CJ, he was an honorable mention. And there was like CJ Gardner-Johnson was receiving votes or an honorable mention. Jalen Petrie received votes. On this one, they ran through the entire list, and I was really surprised. Not surprised that Kamari Lashner wasn't in the top 10, but I was surprised that he didn't make it and didn't get any votes whatsoever. He wasn't an honorable mention, nor was he voted as someone who'd even get votes from anybody there. I was a bit surprised there. I thought his name would at some point make the list.
Yeah, look, I don't think in any way, shape, or form he deserves to be in a top 10 list, but it's more about just did he get any votes whatsoever. I'm a little surprised by that, and here's why. I mean, because I think this is fair. I think opposing teams, or if you just watch the Texans, I think you're very aware this past year, you're very aware of who Derek Stingley was and what he's capable of doing. You prepare for Derek Stingley. Now, when you go back and you watch games in hindsight, as a coach, an executive, a scout, when you go back and watch games in hindsight, there's no question about it. Kamari Lassiter jumps off the screen, whether it's the tackling ability, or the coming out of nowhere, not knowing who he is, and he's covering in big time fashion, or just the playmaking ability. It seems like every game there was a pass breakup, there was an interception, there was a tackle, something jumped off the screen. So I'm surprised too that didn't garner that almost attention in hindsight. After you played him, you look back and you're like, damn, that kid's better than I thought he was. Damn, the Texans are going to be a problem because they don't just have Derek Stingley. Now they've got a guy at corner two.
I think there's a fair argument that he was the best rookie corner in football last year. I think there was an argument, and Quinyon Mitchell is 9 on the list.
Yeah, he's actually on the list. Yeah.
He's actually on the list, and Cooper DeJean is receiving votes, and I think he was at the very least at those guys' level.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly, Ron.
Especially to the point that you made about Derek. People were well aware of Derek Stingley, which means naturally you think they're probably coming that way more. And so he defended a lot there. So I was a bit surprised there. It did get me to thinking this, though. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Because the last 2 days, we got cornerbacks and we got wide receivers yesterday. And both were in the top 10, Nico Collins, Derek Stingley. Derek Stingley, as we just talked about, was number two on this cornerback list. And All-Pro last year, first-team All-Pro. Last year, Nico Collins was a Pro Bowler, even though he missed five or six games. He was ranked eighth on the list in top 10 wide receivers. For this Houston Texans team, who's more important to this squad? Derek Stingley, who is an All-Pro, or Nico Collins, the Pro Bowler? Who is more important to the Houston Texans? Not better or whatever. Who's more important to the Houston Texans team, Nico Collins or Derek Stingley Jr.? 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well.
Look, I think when you look at how this team is constructed, it's an easy answer.
Is it an easy answer?
To me, it is. It's Nico. I mean, without Nico, we are right back to the Texans being an offense that a decent defense is going to suffocate. I mean, you are right back to what we watched in 2023 playoffs versus the Baltimore Ravens. But you would be in a much worse place, because I think it happens during the regular season with just above average defenses. It's not going to take one of the best in the league in the playoffs for it to happen. I think you got major, major problems if Nico Collins isn't there. So that's an easy one for me. I mean, it would hurt to lose Derek Stingley.
You'd be bringing in Tremont Smith as the starter.
Yeah, but you still have two dogs hunting off the edge that cause problems. You know, you'd still have a safety that's an absolute ball hawk, and now you'd be in a position where we got to really find out if Kamari Lassiter is a top-tier corner in this league. And while I don't want to see that happen, I think they could hold their own. I got faith that D'Amico Ryans would figure out a way. We've seen him overcome severe injury issues at multiple spots on the field at one time. I got confidence that they would be up. They'd find a way to survive. No Nico Collins.
Text line coming through. Nico Collins, hands down. Nico, the offense is not good without him. Defense can still be decent without Stingley. Text line also. Hell, why do you do this? They're both important for the offense and defense. Yeah. Thank you for your.
Would you rather him do it with, let's say, Tremont Smith and Nico Collins? Who's more important? Just so it's a no-brainer.
It is. I think it's Nico. I'm with you. And I think the big thing is because, yes, I right now trust D'Amico Ryans to figure out how to move around his best. Maybe arguably his best defensive player than I feel about Nick Cayley being able to work around his best defensive player. And I think that is the difference. It should be Nico also because there's a part that says it should be Stingley because you should feel like you have the quarterback that could make up for missing a Nico Collins, right? Like, you should feel like, all right, we have C.J. Stroud, damn it. And if you put Higgins and Kirk and Noel and everything, maybe like you should still be able to figure it out because of the quarterback they have, right? But in reality, I think it is that route. I'm telling you, I think it changes a lot of things they want to do defensively. If Tremont Smith is in the ball game right now, and Kamari Lassiter then moves to your number one corner, but it is. I think it is, Nico. As we talked about yesterday, it's like you're not out of the lineup. It just the offense and the weapons look completely different if Nico's not out there. I would have said if we were coming off the C.J. Stroud rookie season in which he made just about damn near anything work.
Yeah, he overcame some serious injury.
I'd maybe think it was a little closer right now. By the way, with that receiver list, I found it really interesting, Clint, that when you looked at the top 10, the honorable mentions, and the players receiving votes, there's about 30 names, and there wasn't a Chief, Bill, or Raven in any of the 30 names. I thought that was That was a really, really interesting. Those are what the three top favorites in the AFC and legit Super Bowl contenders, and none of them have a receiver that any of the 70 executive coaches or scouts would have even gave them votes to get in.
Yeah, it's wild to think, man.
Although I feel like Zay Flowers probably is somebody that should have at least been receiving votes.
Yeah, Zay should have been on there. I mean, obviously, the obvious is clearly the number one offensive piece there in Kansas City. And you can argue maybe 1B with Andrews in Baltimore as a tight end.
Yeah, Rashee Rice was, if he didn't get hurt, he may have at least been receiving. Yeah. He got hurt leading the league in receiving yards. From the text line, Clint, I have more faith in Jaden Higgins picking up the slack of losing Nico than any of the backup DBs picking up the slack losing Stingley. But Ocho said, he said,
oh, wow. So you got Jaden Higgins picking up the slack for Nico over Kamari Lassiter picking up the slack for Stingley. I hope that's right. I mean, I hope that's right. I'll be honest with you. I got more confidence out of the gate that Noel impacts games before Higgins does.
Yeah, but I guess if they're in this scenario, if there were no Nico, would Higgins slide into that role?
Yeah. Well, he would have to. There's no question about it. I'm just thinking out loud here of what we know. I think the better player long term is Higgins, but you start talking about guys that can impact immediately. We'll see. He looked damn good in that damn mini camp, that's for sure.
My man said playing wide receiver in the NFL is easier than it's ever been. Those young Texans wide receivers are going to have an old dirty salivating. Book it, barring injuries.
I hope you're right. It ain't been easy for them boys that's been around these parts. Took Nico 3 years?
That's a bad system.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Same. It was definitely a bad season. I mean, Damian Pierce didn't have a problem going for damn near 1,000 and making a name for himself.
Dang it, Bobby.
All right.
I hear you.
All right. Coming up, a conversation that I'm certain Tyler will do a lot of different things to voice his displeasures with, either by audio, music, or just flat out his words. But I want to talk a little bit about old Arch Manning. A little bit about old Arch Manning in Texas.
The 2026 NFL MVP?
Already started before the break. Let's talk a little bit of that coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
It's that time of year again, back to school season. And Instacart knows that the only thing harder than getting back into the swing of things is getting all the back to school supplies, snacks, and essentials you need. So here's your reminder to make your life a little easier this season. Shop favorites from Staples, Best Buy, and Costco. All delivered through Instacart, so that you can get some time back and do whatever it is that you need to get your life back on track. Instacart, we're here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
You don't want me to start shaking my ass? Back in the stang up?
What you do is different than shaking that ass or back in that thing up.
It's a proper way to do it. You get the optimal jiggle.
You make people wonder if they're to be calling 911 as opposed to
because there's a fire because it's
coming
so hot.
That ass.
There's a
seizure.
There's a concern. Yeah, there's a concern.
I've had one of them.
I know your history. That's what scared me.
Have you really? I don't mean to get serious. That is a scary. Have you ever been around somebody who's had a seizure?
Not somebody I knew.
I've seen
it happen before, but not just a stranger.
Just vibrate a little bit.
No, not mine, man.
Kind of like what Tyler was doing on that wall when he thought he was shaking that ass.
Rest in peace. One of my good friends in college, high school. Shout out to you, Dean. Passed away complications from it later on in life.
That's scary.
He would just hit him, and he would always tell us he's got like icing in his pocket, you know, or something, just give him sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we came out of that cafeteria with our plates and stopped over there to get, you know, little condiments. And, man, I remember staring, and he just went down. I mean, just head first into the table with the condiments on it and went down. And, you know, he was still kind of active. And he was like, give me my icing.
So he knew what was going on.
Yeah, and just kind of put it in the side of his mouth or whatever. But he had huge, like, lead, huge scar. Like, that was a, like,
did
I was
he pass
like,
out?
He just, I mean, just started going into the seizure. He never went out, but he was, you know, having a seizure, shaking. But I mean, his head hit so hard.
Tyler, what do you do when you seize?
Well, I'm blessed and praise be that it was just one night with multiple seizures that I went through. I haven't had any since. That was some years ago.
Oh, that's good.
Thank so, that. Yes, that very thankful for that. I'm a lot luckier than some. But from what I was told that night, whenever I had, you know, those 3-4 seizures, I was found unconscious, eyes rolled in the back of the head, shaking around. Not good. I don't have any recollection of anything. I just felt bad for my wife who found me. I mean, that was way more of a nightmare for her. It was a little freaky waking up in a hospital bed, but I wasn't in any pain or felt it or experienced it. So,
where'd she find you?
At the base of our bed. She was woken up because I was bumping up against her hope chest at the base of our bed.
Oh,
I'd been watching a Rockets playoff game. That's the last thing I remember. I was in the living room watching a game, and she found me in our dark bedroom at the base of the bed having the seizure.
Hope chest. That's a hope chest. Is that what that's called?
White person thing?
I don't know. No, it may just mean. I had to look it up. Never heard of it. Well, again,
I don't know what a hope chest is either.
I had to look it up.
If it's pretty self-explanatory,
it's interesting hope that, to me though.
If that was the case, you'd hope that thing up out of the house.
Mom had one. I have other family members I knew growing up.
It's
had
the
one.
Thing that comes up to the end of the bed that you can put blankets and pillows and stuff.
Yeah, my family, they usually have like their wedding dress in there and like old mementos and stuff like that.
No, she got that big ass dress in the closet somewhere. Well, for that story, glad that it is. You're in a much better place with that.
Don't ever think I'm seasoned when I'm shaking my ass.
But I think even more so.
I think
so
you should refrain from it.
From it. Even more so. Because I'll drop my headphones and sprint over in there If I see you,
I showed Lo the video, and she's like, "What is he doing?" I said, "Listen to the music in the background, babe."
I heard. Yeah, that video got around.
I've been pinned on my Twitter. If you want to check me out, shaking my ass.
I know
people.
It got around.
Oh, did you pin it?
Yeah, it got around. Yeah.
It got circulating quite a bit.
Seizure or pee pop?
Yeah, yeah, he was popping that ass.
Put that poll out there.
Yeah. Someone said icing. Never heard of that one. I hadn't either till I was there.
Was he diabetic?
Diabetic. Yeah, that's where his seizures. Okay, yeah.
Mine was not. My seizure thing was not diabetes related, but there's a few different ways.
Do you care to share what it was?
I can't remember like the name of what they call it. The best way I explain it to people is there's this chemical all of our brains make and then puts out into our bloodstream, and my brain apparently makes this chemical just fine, but it has trouble distributing it into my blood the proper way. So now I just have to take a pill every day to make sure my brain's working right.
That's good. You learn a lot here. Something else you can learn is we've seen history happen in the National Football League today. Just now, during the break, as I was coming back from the bathroom, I was coming from another injury point, and Tyler's just yelling, "Show! Show! T.J. Watt!" I said, "What the hell happened to T.J. Watt?" Well, Steelers and star edge rusher T.J. Watt. He has become the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history for the second time in his career, reaching an agreement today on a 3-year, $123 million extension that includes a $108 million fully guaranteed at signing contract. The $41 million per year average is the highest of any non-quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, that man made
that money.
Congratulations
to him. Yeah, hey, this is an offensive player. Like his,
generational wealth, man.
And this is 3 years, folks. This is 3 years. And, like, that's the other part of this is TJ. And listen, he is someone who deserves it. I don't – and I'll ask you this, Clint. I don't think he is a guy that you're paying for – just that you're paying for what he's done. I think TJ Watt can still be an elite player coming up over the next 3 years.
Yeah, I don't think TJ Watt's slowing down at all. I think odds are he is a pillar to that defense in terms of setting the tone, and he's more the thermostat in the room, setting what the hell's going on a daily basis. Look, I mean, he can't be too different than what J.J. Watt was in terms of how he approached the game. We all saw that here. If he has that kind of effect on his teammates, I would imagine that this is not just about talent. But I'm looking at Ed Warder. You know, him talking about it, he says, since he entered the league in 2017, T.J. Watt has the most sacks at 108, the most tackles for a loss at 126, and fumbles forced at 33. So whether you're looking back and looking at that stat-driven position that he plays in terms of whether you get paid or not, the stats will tell you that he deserves to be the highest paid guy, which, by the way, that's $1 million a year over what Myles Garrett got. He signed a 4-year, $160 million deal. This is a 3-year, $123 million, so $41 million a year. So he's right there in that same area, same neck of the woods, money wise. And look, I think T.J. Watt is, as long as he's healthy, I think he's at the top of his game. I still think he's there.
Some people that's sometimes you get in trouble for paying what they have done, but again, he's just 30 years old. He'll be 31. But I mean, Clint, since his second year in the league in 2018. He goes 13 sacks Pro Bowl. Next year, 14.5 sacks Pro Bowl, All-Pro, and third in Defensive Player of the Year. The next year, he goes 15 sacks Pro Bowl, All-Pro, second Defensive Player of the Year. The next year, 22.5 sacks Pro Bowl, All-Pro, wins the Defensive Player of the Year. He even went to the Pro Bowl when he got hurt playing 10 games, getting 5.5 sacks. Last year, 11.5 sacks Pro Bowl, second team All-Pro, fourth in the Defensive Player of the Year award voting. He has gotten it. By the way, does this mean Jerry's got to go over this with Micah Parsons?
There is no way in hell. Micah Parsons doesn't strike me as a guy that's gonna flirt with it. He strikes me as a guy that's gonna hold out, and he's gonna hold their feet to the fire, and he's gonna be the highest paid. Micah Parsons strikes me as a guy that it wants to be.
That's what he's been waiting. This
for however long, for however long it lasts, he wants to be on the short list of guys that at one point in time was the highest paid player in the league, non-quarterback in the league.
Weak ass Cowboys.
Just get it done, man. And you know, he didn't. Now Miles walked in front of him. Now TJ Watts walked in front of him. And I mean, ain't nobody more excited than old Micah Parsons. Hell yes. Give me that money. I mean, hell. What was it? Miles Garrett said he should be the highest paid player when they get this contract done. That's what Miles Garrett said about
Micah.
About Micah. Well, I wonder if that's still probably going to happen. So it happened with Dak. Dak went over, and I think it's probably going to happen with Micah Parsons. But T.J. Watt, highest paid non-quarterback, 41 a year, 108 guaranteed at signing. Shout out to him. All right. It is Thursday. This one should be fun. Buckle up. A little turds list. Tyler's turds list coming up.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Tyler's Turds list coming up here shortly. Before we get to that, we've been looking at offensive linemen each day this week as we head into training camp. As that starts next week, next Wednesday, they'll be on the field. Clint, we talked about a couple of guys this week. Ariante Ursary. The top, we knew they needed to go and get one in the draft. They did not draft in the first round. They traded back in the second round. And with their second round pick, they moved up to get him. They draft Ariante Ursary, the tackle out of Minnesota. And he's an interesting one because really going into it, Blake Fisher, Andrews, we've talked about this week. And we've had a feel that those guys are probably right now going to be starters. Not as sure with him. How much impact do you kind of see Ursary actually having this year?
Well, I hope very little.
That's what you hope.
Yeah,
you
would hope, yeah. I hope very, very little. I believe, again, the focus is more about the unit and can you get five guys operating on one accord? Can you get the run game rolling because you got five guys that are communicating and know what the hell to do and can be where they're supposed to be. It's more about the five guys being solid across the board and all five of those guys being dialed in on being one-fifth of a unit that ultimately has to be all in on that being the case. It can't be about one guy doing this or one guy doing that. And so I think accomplishing that and how important it is that the Texans accomplish that this year, I think avoiding a rookie playing would be the best-case scenario for the Texans. Blake Fisher stepping up and taking a step from a solid first year where he had to play earlier than he wanted to, him stepping up and really taking that right tackle spot, that starting right tackle spot and running with it is an integral part of this the improvement that the Texans need to show up front. Cam Robinson being a really, really good free agent get as a veteran left tackle is again very important to the Texans fixing their problems. And crazier things have happened. Rookies have come in before and just blown the doors off of expectations and played. I get it. But best case scenario is that you get an experienced veteran in Cam Robinson at left tackle and you get a second-year rookie that showed a lot of promise in year one, taking that next step, and he's that dude. Now, where does Trent Brown fit into the mix? Trent Brown may be a guy that if Blake Fisher doesn't step up, then maybe Trent Brown's that guy. But I think best-case scenario, the rookie needs to be a swing tackle, live and learn a little bit.
And step in maybe next year and take one of the jobs.
Step in as something that's planned and not, boy, we're just getting injured left and right, and we got to play this kid earlier than we want to. Again, you know, a lot of the reports are this kid's mature beyond his years, and if that's the case, then
he
definitely looks the part. Now, but if that's the case, let's ride.
Yeah.
But I think best case scenario is the dudes that you have ahead of him that showed promise, or you expect a lot of promise because they're veterans. Best case scenario is those guys go out and play well and everything's good.
All right, let's get to it. It is Thursday. Tyler Milner's turdless.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
Which is not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That is right. That's a big voice guy. I'm Tyler. These are the Turds. If you're unfamiliar, we do this every Thursday right around this time, around 3:45. T-Mill's Turds of the Week. And as I tell y'all, it is my responsibility each week to be policing these this turdish behavior going on around the sports world.
Got your eyes open?
Got my eyes wide open. And I'm getting good at designating and identifying whenever there's turdish behavior going on.
Everyone except for yourself.
Well.
It is your list, though.
It's T-Mill's Turds, man. So let's get into it. We got another full podium. If you didn't know, we're another day closer to college football returning to our lives. And this week, SEC Media Days has been going on. The Aggie head coach, Mike Elko, is actually at the podium today. Might have some of that for you tomorrow. But another coach in Texas wears that ugly-ass burnt orange, that baby vomit orange that people seem to pretend like they like. Those cows up in Austin, their head coach, Steve Sarkisian. Whenever old Sark was introduced at SEC Media Days this week, a few days ago, this is what it sounded like. Might hear something out of place.
He was the 2020 Broyles Award winner for assistant coach as offensive coordinator at Alabama. He's married to the former L'Oreal Smith. Steve has two daughters, Ashley and Taylor, a son, Brady, and he and L'Oreal welcomed Amias in April of 2025,
shampoo.
The head coach at the University of Texas, Steve Sarkisian.
What's that? What's that?
Hullabaloo, connect, connect. Hullabaloo, connect, connect.
That, ladies and gentlemen, that should have sounded a bit out of place to you, because if you did not know, that was the fight in Texas Aggie wore him.
There's so much from that. Why are they making him need all of that?
If I was Sark, this would be my biggest a-hole moment of my career.
Oh, it was so glorious.
Yeah.
Sark walking out to the fight in Texas Aggie wore him right there. Some poor intern, I'm guessing. Some slap-D poor intern out there probably just got his fight songs, his school songs mixed up. Hit that wrong button. Trust me, it's easy to do.
Don't do it, T.
What?
You can't convince me.
The bronze turd this week is going to this board op, for lack of a better term. It set Sark up for that. Because that is bad, man. That is your all-time rival, and you are getting introduced to their song.
What if the board op was working like a Tyler Milner? You would have done that.
I would have never made that mistake. I'm really good at
what I do. I don't think it's a mistake.
He thinks you'd done it on purpose.
I think you'd have done it on purpose. I think somebody had some fun with it. I think.
And that is possible. But either way,
the rivalry's that deep.
I loved it, but it was turdish behavior. So your bronze turd this week is that kid, whoever he was.
And why do we have to go past his sports resume and then get to his family when we're reading all of that stuff up?
How hard is it not to stumble through that part?
Yes.
What hospital was he born in? But that's your bronze turd. The guy who set up old Sark. I loved it. Sark probably didn't. I know Longhorns didn't. I see y'all texting and whining your asses off. That's what Longhorns do best is baby back bitch cry their asses off. Keep doing it. I love it. Bronze out of the way. Real quick, silver turd this week. This is T-Mill's Turds live on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We have our first ever redaction of a turd award. And correction in response to that. We mentioned it briefly, I believe, last Thursday. Last week's turd podium had a bronze medal given out to the OG. You hear him on In the Loop, John Lopez. Because I had done some detective work, and I had been misinformed, now I know, that it was John Lopez treating these studios, this radio station, like his damn house and leaving used coffee mugs all in our prep studio. By the end of the week, every Friday, 3, 4, 5 mugs on the desk back there. Well, OG John Lopez, consider this your formal and sincere apology, sir. Because although you've landed on the turd list in past moments before, for reasons you did deserve, you didn't deserve this one. It was bada bing, bada boom, freaking Bajani. And he had a ass-eating grin on his face whenever I gave that to Lopez. He said, dude, that's me leaving them mugs. Bajani, the station is not your home. Clean your ish up. No one is here to clean up after you like I've been doing every Friday, you turd.
I appreciate that you are giving a public apology after you publicly misrepresented John Lopez. And
Lopez asked for it enough.
Okay, well, I mean, that's man of you. You should. If you're going to get it wrong in public, the apology should be sincere in public.
I can't believe you made that mistake.
He is.
Well, I was just working off word of mouth.
You're pretty aware.
Yeah, it did make more sense.
Oh, when we heard it, that sounds like Sean Bajani.
Well, yeah. I mean, of all the people that we work with, Bajani is the one that I bet.
The sloppiest?
Sloppy, is that? Yeah, I guess. Like, he's the one that would do that and have no, and not even think about it twice.
Yeah. Well, apparently that is correct, because I guarantee Friday we'll have 4 more cups back there.
I'm shocked we don't have spit cups all over the place with Bajani.
We do sometimes. I'm throwing them away, too. Yeah. So, redaction, correction, first time ever on T-Mills Turds. Once again, sorry, OG. Maybe don't ask for an apology like 800 times when you want one, though. And Bajani, you get the silver turd medal this week.
You scared Jessica Parker, man. She's always done it for me.
What?
You can't. Just do it.
I mean, you know how the OG can
be. You apologize. You wanted it. You asked for it 30,000 times.
He is the OG, and he is John Lopez, and he's a Houston legend, but he's also a bit of a diva. So, gold time. Gold turd trophy. If you're watching with us on the Sports Radio 610 YouTube and or Twitch, I got the golden turd trophy we all love in my hand. I'm going to make this short and sweet. Everybody knows my feelings on this woman. In another life, probably would have been soulmates. Joy Taylor.
Okay.
Joy Taylor, let go by FS1, along with many others. I should mention a lot of people let go over there at Fox Sports 1. But the one I'm focused on is my girl Joy. There are not many specimens on this beautiful earth of ours that are as sexy and beautiful, but can also talk about the sports like Joy Taylor. FS1, what are you doing?
You want us to leave?
Or what do you do? I mean, you can. You know I can get worked up just fine.
Saying, I don't.
Joy Taylor getting let go, FS1. I think you're a bunch of idiots. I think that's a very stupid mistake. I mean, sex sells, dude. And she's beautiful. Well, she's gorgeous. So I'm going to go ahead and put in my request to Parker, our boss, to at least give her an interview for up here.
That lawsuit probably put the writing on the wall for her there at FS1. Mm. And I'm sure she would love to hear, as you say, sex sells. That would be what she would love to hear.
So now, well put together.
For you, though, she has the ability to probably go on her own, as she has done some. And, you know, maybe you'll get a more less restricted Joy Taylor.
You think, like, uncensored?
Sorry, I don't understand.
Siri doesn't understand either, Chief.
What you got coming up?
Oh, man. The quickest way, the most important thing, and the quickest way to fixing the Texans' O-line issues is what we got to discuss. Texan center, Jake Andrews. He might have your boy a little worked up about this O-line conversation, y'all. You want to plug in? Stay plugged in. And make sure you hear this here. Before we go, before we talk about Jake Andrews and fixing this O-line protection, this Texans offensive line protection, we got to tell you about